This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Rhonda McKee was a teenager living in Detroit when she first realized she needed protection. She was working in advertising downtown. She was robbed 5 times, had her car stolen, so she wanted to get a gun, but the police department advised against that. Then she began to take Taekwondo. She was doing it for protection, but her experiment in self-defense would lead her to become the first Western member of the Korean Tigers professional martial arts team. Today, Master Rhondi, as her students call her, is the owner of the White Tiger Martial Arts School in Cary, and we have Rhondi McKee with us in the studio. Welcome, Master Rhondi. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We mentioned briefly how you got into the martial arts. Tell us about what was happening with you in Detroit. What was going on?
Well, I seemed to be an easy target. Like you said, I had been robbed a couple times, car stolen, and I think the determining factor was when I came home one day late from a meeting, and there had been a break-in in my house, and he was actually still there. So when I reached for the phone, that's when there was a confrontation, and I ended up with a broken arm. So I started taking martial arts with a cast on my arm.
Well, right there in Detroit?
Right there in Detroit, yes.
What were you imagining? How are you imagining that might turn out? I'm guessing.
My plans really were to take... I was not athletic, so my plans were to take a couple moves, learn a couple good chops, and then I was going to be out of there. But I found out that it started changing me, changing my personality. It started changing the way that people looked at me, and I felt if I could continue this, I might not need as much self-defense without being a target.
What do you think was happening? Why do you think people saw
it? It builds your confidence, it builds your self-esteem, and it improves the way that people look at you. You no longer look like an easy target.
Now, have you ever used it to defend yourself, or did you in those first days?
I did not, no. I think changes started happening very quickly. I wanted to learn as quickly as I could, so I was training very hard. And before long, actually, after a few months, my instructor, he encouraged me to go to competitions, and I started winning, and that just helped and built more confidence.
When it comes to competitions, there are none better in the world than the Korean Tigers. Is that true?
They're a performance team, so they travel the world. They were started by the Korean government way back in the 80s. They were trying to get Taekwondo into the Olympics as an Olympic sport. So they developed this team, and the job was to travel around the world and promote the benefits of martial arts.
How did you come to meet them?
Well, I had been to Korea before for competition, but this was a couple years later, and I wanted to go back. And my instructor was watching me teaching my students how to do some of these demos that we had seen from tapes. We had a stack of tapes on the Korean Tigers, and we were trying to imitate what they were doing and try to do some of the bigger sets. And my master, my instructor, just said, you know, you can't do this on your own. You really need to be with them and see them. And so the plan was to go to Korea and actually, you know, tape them and film them and take good notes and learn how to do it from the best in the world.
What's the difference between Taekwondo as performance and competitive Taekwondo?
Well, for competition, you're matched up with someone your own weight division. You know, women fight against women and men against men, and you know you're trying to place with the Korean Tigers. It's kind of like the Globetrotters. We did shows, so we had comedy shows in there where we had comedic skits. We did some competition, but it was just for show to show how the points were made, and a lot of breaking, and we're famous for like the spectacular flipping and board breaking and apples flying through the air and things like that.
So you go there to tape them to get a better feel for how you can teach. You're going to do some taping, but eventually you end up training with them. How did that happen?
Well, our big plan was to go there and just to walk right in the door and start taping. And when I got there, there was a crowd of other people that had exactly the same plan as me. And, you know, I had come an awful long way to find out that this wasn't going to happen for me. And my master went and talked to the coach of the team, and there was a lot of head shaking going on. And my master came back to me, and he asked me if I had my uniform in my backpack, which I always did. And he told me to go get it on. And then he pushed me in the door. He said, they're doing auditions right now, and you're going in. He goes, it's the only way you're getting in.
Your master Korean?
He is, yes.
So all this stuff, and you see, and now that he talks about an audition, you're standing there in your uniform. He hadn't said that before you got changed, and now he pushes you in the room. How'd you feel?
That's kind of the Korean master way. But, you know, it's just yes, sir, whatever he tells me to do. So. And I also, like I said, I had come an awful long way. I was at least getting in the door. I was at least going to see him. You know, I thought, well, maybe I can get a glimpse, get some pictures, and get something. And, you know, they stuck me right into training and no one told me to stop. I hung in there. I did the best I could. And at the end of the day, the coach came over and he said, be here tomorrow at 9.
Were you in then or were you still auditioning?
No, I'm like, okay, I'm coming back. Okay, I got one more day. So that was, you know, I was just kind of going day by day. So I went back and this happened. Just come on back, come on back, come on back. And this went on for a couple weeks. And then I was asked to go for their advanced training where they were getting ready to go on tour.
Are you having to put your life on hold now because you weren't expecting to be there?
Yeah, I was expecting at most to be gone a couple weeks and now we're into a month. And so I actually ended up planning. I did have to go back home. I had a business back home.
They asked you to tour with them.
They did. The running suits came in, and there was a running suit with my name on it, and they said, you need to come with us. You know, we need you. And I'm like, well, that's great, but I can't really do that. I have to go back home. And I went back home, and I found that my life had really changed. My eyes were really opened as to, you know, training with these great masters. And then I came back to my school, and it just wasn't quite the same.
How was it different?
It was just, in my school, I had the chance to train with one great master. And when I moved to Korea, I had the chance to train with, you know, I was training on a team with 20 masters and just getting influence from each and every one of them that, you know, it was just so much more. And I tried to bring that to my school. I tried to change the teaching style a little bit. And my master, he was, you know, a little old style in his thinking, and he wasn't up for any changes.
So eventually you did go back and you toured with the Tigers.
I did. They were on tour and they contacted me every stop along the way and they encouraged me to come. And then there was just that moment where I knew my life had changed. It would never be the same back in Detroit. And so I made the arrangements that I needed to sell my home, put my cars up for sale. I turned my contracts, my advertising jobs over to others. And they sent me a plane ticket to meet up with them. And I met them in Seattle and joined them for the rest of the tour.
Now, you are the only non-Korean or the first non-Korean to tour with them. Am I right about that?
That's right. I believe I'm the only one to date, yes.
What was that like? What was it like to tour with them?
It was amazing. But in Korea, I was the one that was very different, so I was the superstar in Korea, you know, so that part was great when we did the tours there. But I learned a lot about different cultures and how to bend and how to mesh our cultures together so that it worked out as a team. Learned a lot about teamwork.
Is the training style there fundamentally different than it would be in an American school, even with a Korean teacher? I can imagine that in the place where a tradition is born, there might be a different kind of discipline, a different attitude toward discipline than there might be in the U.S.
I think they just take it a lot more seriously. But the other thing is when masters come here to America and make their school, their training stopped the day that they left Korea. So it's kind of dated. If they've been here for 30 years, they're still teaching how it was 30 years ago, but in Korea, it's constantly moving on and changing.
And that's interesting for a 5,000-year-old tradition, right?
That's right.
The idea that it does continue to change.
It's constantly evolving, and especially now with it being in the Olympics, it's constantly changing. They need to keep it exciting so that they can keep the spectators to keep it in the Olympics.
So you started out in Detroit, you go on tour around the world, and you end up in Cary. How did you get here?
Well, I was looking for a place to come back. By this time, I realized that I needed to bring this kind of training back to America because not everybody can pack up and go join the Korean Tigers. And so, yeah, I didn't want to go back to Detroit, mostly because I didn't want to go back to Detroit, but also because out of respect for my master, I didn't want to be in his territory. And so I did my homework with the Tigers. The plan was to make headquarters where I could bring them in and they would teach. We would all teach under one roof, which is kind of unusual to have more than one master under a roof.
And that's what you do at the White Tiger Martial
we
Arts.
We have 23 masters under one roof.
23. And how many students?
There's about 2,000 students.
At any one time. And you've celebrated. How long have you been there?
We have been there for 15 years and we just celebrated 15 years and 10,000 students.
Wow. And you've also won an award recently.
We did. White Tiger was named the School of the Year. We were inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and that was an international award.
What's the future then for the school? And you say, let me stick with this, because the style and the way you teach is different because of the number of masters that you have. So if I went to your school, I mean, do I have several teachers? How does it work?
You would be in a class and there would be multiple teachers. So this way you can learn different techniques from each master. Each one has a different personality, a little bit different style, and you can pick the ones that work best for you, and you will always have a lot of personalized attention.
Where do you see the school going in the future?
Well, I have a lot of students that would like to grow up and do exactly the same thing. So I see in the future a lot of little white tiger schools.
Have any of your teachers, your students, come back to teach? You haven't been around long.
Yes, yeah? No, they have. I've had kids that were little, that grew up, went to college, came back, and said, you know, this is my dream, and they work there now.
And I guess the wonderful thing is, once you learn it, you don't have to kick any butt because people look at you differently, as you said.
Exactly, that's right.
Rondi, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Rondi McKee, owner of the White Tiger Martial Arts School in Cary. For more information, you can go to whitetigertkd.com. Just ahead, we'll talk about the literary legacy of Franz Kafka and the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.